It's like a fever dream put through Google Translate. It's like The Room, if The Room was a kung fu movie, but weirder. We saw Ninja Terminator, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How to Discrepate. We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Can't you know you wonder how to discrepate? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Clusterfest, and hello, people of San Francisco. That is what you would have heard me say if the person who was supposed to record this episode did their job effectively. Let me tell you, people, we do these live shows all the time. Crack staff, always recording these episodes. July Diaz up in the booth, nails it flawlessly all the time. In the past, we have had a couple of mishaps. Top Dog is one of them. But this one is very confounding because as we went to go release this episode, no one told us. No one knew. So we got the episode and they're like, oh, you didn't do an intro. I was like, what do you mean I didn't do an intro? And they're like, oh, it wasn't there. And then we emailed and she's like, oh yeah, I couldn't figure it out, the recorder. That's it. That's all she said. So you're missing a little bit of the beginning of this episode, but not much, not much at all. But anyway, I'm putting that on a back burner and I'm going to say, let that roll off my back. And let me tell you how the show would have went down. I introduced Jason to a round of Zooks. He comes out, gives the audience the finger. He says, what's up, jerks? They all cheer. Jason and I talk a little bit about this movie, which he was very confounded by. We then remark on the place that we're actually in, which is the Larkin Comedy Club, which is anything but a comedy club. We were at Clusterfest, which is an amazing event, and they took over a giant convention center, and they decided to make one part of the convention center a comedy club, and I'm putting that in quotes. I hope that my intonation and my voice was letting you know that that was in quotes. All they basically did was put up weird, large, 8x10s, giant photos of comedians around this room that was basically just another place where, like, if you were selling above ground pools, you would go for like a trade conference or something. So we were in the Larkin Comedy Club surrounded by the most odd pictures of like Estelle Getty and Miss Piggy, not stand up comics. It was very bizarre. So we commented a little bit about that, and you'll maybe hear that a little bit in the episode about the decor of the Larkin Comedy room, which is, it's so bizarre. But you know what? This is a great start for such a weird movie because then I introduce June. And I'm just going to get right into it here. But I say, June, tell me how this movie made you feel.
This was really, this was, I got a headache and I didn't feel well.
This movie made you physically sick.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was exhausted by it. But I think by the mental effort it took to try and
to
make
watch
sense
it, yeah.
of it.
Yeah.
I feel like I didn't watch it. I just sort of like let it wash over me. Like it wasn't like I watched a movie. It was like I sat there and something was playing. Like it was a totally
like,
different experience.
As if someone sprayed perfume and you just walked
and
through
you,
it.
Walked through it.
Yeah. Exactly. I thought honestly to myself, is Paul mad at me? Is Paul mad at me? What have I done to deserve this?
Well,
and
we,
then I macroed that out to, is God mad at me? But I now know, with Eddie Murphy and Steve Martin smiling down upon me, that everything's going great. I swear to God, at the end of this show, I'm going to light all of these chairs on fire. That is a promise.
We have not just one special guest tonight. We have two special guests tonight. To help us unpack this movie, which definitely needs some help to be unpacked. Our first guest is a How Did This Get Made all-star. You might remember her from Hercules in New York. Unfortunately, we only make her movie watch movies that are severely dubbed. She is the star of Broad City. She's an author of a book called Carry This. And please welcome Abby Jacobson. Yeah, yeah. Have a seat. I feel like I got your book title. It's Carry This Book, right?
It's just called Carry It.
Carry It.
No, Carry This Book.
Carry This Book. It's an awesome book, which I do own, and I love it. Welcome.
Hi.
First thoughts. Did you understand this movie?
No.
Okay, great.
I felt like the same. I was like, what is happening? And I also was like, does Paul hate me?
Yeah.
I regretted it.
Did I do a bad job the last time? Am I being
exactly
punished?
I've been asked back.
I'm saying that you actually did a great job that we are giving. This is like a triple black diamond we gave you. This is not comprehensible.
But I will say, you in particular have gotten the raw end of the deal both times here.
We do.
No, this movie makes the Arnold movie look Oscar worthy.
No, I was like, I'll watch the, wait, what was it? Hercules in the Park?
Hercules in New York,
In New York.
Hercules in the Park. Just like Shakespeare in the Park. Except
Hercules in the Park.
By
with
the way,
George.
I would self-finance a Central Park play version of the movie Hercules in New York.
I would go and see that.
Hercules in the Park, where I will play Pretzi. The Rock is in.
I'm excited that you are here because we'll crack into it. I don't know if we'll find any answers.
We're excited.
But now, please welcome our second special guest. Also the star of the hilariously funny Broad City and one of the stars of the equally funny Rough Night coming out this month. Please welcome Alana Glazer.
Hello, y'all.
As your first exposure to this podcast, I apologize, but your thoughts.
How are you enjoying that chair?
I'm loving it. It is huge.
You really kind of navigated that chair the best of anybody.
Yeah. You really just like took to it.
Oh my God. Thank you. I'm going to take to it in different ways over the course of this experience. Okay. I'm going to change my position. I'm going to change my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I was insulted that you tricked me into spending any time wasting my time. I scrubbed through. I was like, the dubbing was the most offensive. I found it racist, not quite racial.
Wait, no. How?
I think that it...
Oh, I'm like, I literally was like, you're an idiot. Jason really doesn't get it. The whole of color thing right over Jason's... Yeah, I was just like, this is so gross. And
it's like, I thought it was beautiful, actually.
I mean, the movie opens up with like a beautiful synth pop 80s thing over violent weapons.
I will say, I loved the score of this movie. This movie
beautiful
was like a John
score.
Carpenter score, like
beautiful
on acid.
Score.
Can I just say something? I'm going to have trouble even talking about the beginning, middle, and end of this.
Yeah.
As
totally.
Though
yeah,
there's
too.
A narrative. I truly am. Like, it's not easy because I felt that this movie was four scenes that were repeated.
Yes.
Over and over.
And oftentimes quite literally the same scene. Like the scene of the red ninjas running down the stairs in the beginning, which they just kept cutting back to, that same footage of them running down the stairs.
Yeah, I would say that for a good point of it, I would argue that this is a movie without really ninjas in it. Or yeah. I would say that there's one guy who could fight and the rest suspect. I'm like, I don't know. I feel like they're just kind of moving quickly.
Like on a movement, and that was a fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt like they might have just shot stuff, like a bunch of different scenes, and then just like, we'll figure it out later.
Well,
and because we're going to dub it, we can create the story however we want.
I will tell you a little background on this movie, just so we can all be on the same page. This movie was directed by Godfrey Ho.
Woo!
Where are my Godfrey Ho people at?
Godfrey Ho is the second to last on the right, the image up on the wall.
He performed at Larkin. Great stuff. Very meta, weird stuff.
Can I just ask very quickly, is that Betty White holding an urn?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's Miss Piggy in that corner.
Whose ashes are those? Whose ashes is she holding? And who was like, ooh, let's make sure we get a picture with Betty White and a dead body.
I also just don't understand, it's all stand-ups, but then Betty White, who I think is fantastically funny, but not known for being a stand-up.
Well, neither's Gilda, and certainly Miss Piggy isn't.
Yeah, well, Miss Piggy.
I mean, you know who's pissed about that? Fozzie Bear. Fozzie Bear is like, I am literally the stand-up comedian Muppet, and you're gonna put Miss Piggy up?
Too basic,
she's
baby.
She's a lounge jack.
Too basic. We want Miss Piggy now. It's
Fozzie
a new
Bear
world, baby.
Somewhere putting a gun in his mouth.
Let me.
He's a puppet, you guys. Wow. Get it together, San Francisco. Because it's going to get so much
worse. Don't commit or condone puppet murder.
Oh,
or
no.
Suicide. So, Godfrey Ho directed 115 films from 1980 to 1990. Yeah. You would be surprised this movie is...
10 years?
Yes. This movie is a 1985 film, so don't think it's from the 70s. He retired from filmmaking in 2000, and he used 40 different names over that time in his career. Here's his style of filmmaking. It's called cut and paste, where he creates movies by splicing various unrelated material together and then dubbing everything to make it make sense.
Wow!
This film that we watch takes 2/3 of its footage from a Korean film called The Uninvited Guest, and then combines it with various ninja-themed scenes that have no connection to the plot. And every one of his movies used the word ninja in it. So, an example of it would be like Ninja Force, Ninja the Protector, Full Metal Ninja, and of
Full
course...
Metal Ninja.
By the way, though, this is making me like this movie. Because now I feel like this movie was an exercise. Like, this movie was an installation.
It
you
makes
know?
Me understand it more.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, fully watched, I, like... Googled more than I watched because it was like so nauseating to watch and so like assaulting on my senses, and I'm like a huge fan of Godfrey Ho.
Are you gonna go deep into his
like he committed, he doesn't give a shit, he's like, I'm gonna make a shit ton of money in Hong Kong, I'm gonna rep fucking Hong Kong.
100 movies in 10 years
115
115 oh my god,
he's like, these are terrible, this is a genre.
Yeah.
Genius.
Well, and the
Full Metal Ninja sounds... I love just, like, putting word ninja in place of another. Like when Harry met Ninja. Driving Miss Ninja.
I
want, like, those versions of a ninja movie.
I literally, as I show the audience, I literally have all 115 titles right here.
Oh, my God.
They're amazing. The other thing, too, just to point out as we talk about this movie, Richard Harrison, the American guy with the blonde hair and the mustache.
Yes. Yeah.
He, like, did the class... I mean, we all Richard Harrison. He like only did like 3 or 4 movies, and then he just cut his movies up continuously, nonstop. So Richard Harrison's like in a lot of Godfrey Ho movies, but he only shot 3.
Oh, that's amazing.
Right, for exportability, Wiki said.
Yeah, exportability, yeah, because that's the same reason why.
So was he always in that hoodie?
I think he might have been.
He just, he like rises.
Yeah.
And like, it's a close up.
Like all over. Richard Harrison rises. I want to read that biography on Richard Harrison.
I want to show you, I think the first scene to talk about, because I want to talk about...
I can't watch this again.
This is one of my favorite scenes because... So the beginning of the movie starts off, this ninja, they have this doll.
I've got a lot to say about the Garfield phone.
Well, that...
Holy shit!
I saw a lot to say about the Garfield phone. If you think I didn't look up Garfield phone on eBay the minute this happened, you are
so
wrong.
Insane.
Because I am currently the highest bidder on a working Garfield phone because I was like, fuck, I want that next to my bed.
That Garfield phone is amazing because he's a badass ninja who uses a Garfield phone
as his primary phone.
And when you pick it up, the eyes like whoop, like open, and then when you
otherwise he's sleeping.
Yes.
Oh man, and like it's a fucking Monday.
Yeah, and sometimes I feel like watching old movies, I get nostalgia for landlines. Like there's something about the weight of a phone and the substance of a phone that I miss.
Totally.
Sure.
You know,
totally.
And when I saw him pick up that Garfield
obsessed,
phone,
phallus-centric June, right?
I guess I am, but I feel like, oh, I want a landline that I can really make something of.
Yeah.
You
that
know,
you can,
where
that you can like
real
twirl
in that landline. Well, I mean,
While you're on the phone, you can like play with the cord.
Yes,
know?
And I want
you're
like a
constrained
couch.
Constrained to a certain part of your house.
It makes you want to pace, but with limits.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I actually want a couch that I can sit on next to my landline and have my conversations.
Or how about even like an old-fashioned telephone chair?
Great. Great.
Oh, I love this.
But there is something about putting a phone in a cradle.
Yeah.
That it's like such a sensory experience that I miss. And watching that Garfield scene, it was the only thing in this movie where I was like, oh, I like that. Yeah. What's happening?
It tricked you into, it blinded you into loving
this. It's nice to like watch, you know, when you're going to hang up the Garfield phone, to watch his eyes close, like... He's ready for sleep now.
But Garfield is clearly spying on your phone conversation because he's awake while you're talking.
Well, what the fuck? Who's he going to tell Nurmal? Who cares? Yeah. And
he's telling John
Nurmal
all of your business.
And maybe he'll tell Odie, but Odie's so stupid, he's not going to remember. That's right. I know all the Garfield specifics. hate this chair.
I was fascinated by Richard Harrison's home life and Harrison? His wife.
Oh,
and
these are I'm ready to talk about the bathing suit, the multi-purpose bathing suit.
Let's get into that first.
Whatever anyone else is.
All right.
Her storyline, arguably the most interesting storyline in the movie.
Obsessed with her and her business.
Her and her business is fascinating.
Richard let's pull it up.
Richard is eyeliner.
And
right?
We can. Oh yeah, he.
Richard is eyeliner.
He has great
Richard's
eyeliner.
Richard's a designer.
Well, they're both eyeliner.
Oh, Richard
is
eyeliner.
But the market is changing fast, so we must prepare and be ready for it next year.
Well, look, our designers are creating multi-purpose swimsuits.
Oh.
The dubbing is just so offensive.
Very good idea, but we should put stress on both outdoor and indoor use. I think swimsuits are also very suitable for aerobic exercise and sport.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a swimsuit.
Well, it turns
out. That sounds nice, but it could use more pleats.
It could use more pleats.
More pleats. More pleats than that?
It should be in pink.
That's a lot of pleats.
With the white pants, it's more elegant.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, I've arranged a meeting with our designers for this evening.
Oh, okay.
No, not this evening. She's going to be busy.
Oh?
Yeah, that's...
Yes.
Gross.
Oh, Harry, I forgot about dinner.
You can't forget to eat. Besides, Polly can take care of everything.
Have a nice time.
Thank you.
It's so crazy. What is so crazy about this scene... Is
I was like,
you thought there was real fun.
I was like, I missed the best part of this movie. No, that was Paul's sound.
One of the crazy things about this scene is this is a full-on fucking ninja movie.
Yeah.
That this scene has nothing to do
but there
with
is
anything. Like
I believe I'm about to say something totally insane. I think that Ninja Terminator passes the Bechdel test.
That's what I
would
get.
Passes the Bechdel
really
test.
Disturbing. Whoop, whoop, Ninja Terminator, yes.
Right? That's pretty
that
fucking
is so
wild.
So funny.
Godfrey Ho
so
was before
weird,
his time.
Though.
Here's what's so weird about her plan for bathing suits.
Yeah.
So she wants them to be worn
indoor outdoor.
And outdoors,
yes.
Which I guess they can be.
I want them for aerobics.
Here's what I don't think is a smart idea. I don't think bathing suits are for exercising unless you want a serious yeast infection.
Or I'll say at this time, like, there is something like that, and it's a leotard.
Sure, yes.
Like, I don't know why you need to go from water directly into exercising.
I agree. You and I are in agreement on this.
Back into water.
Which is why we are launching our form of exercise leotards. My cousin, I had cousins, Leah.
I don't believe you.
I had cousins. Guys. Oh, you know what? I will take this moment. I will take this moment to address the internet rumor that I am not a human being, that I do not have a family.
A lot of people on Reddit say that you took stock shots from banks and you put them in picture frames in your house and you say these are your relatives.
Obsessed.
But you just said that they were all cousins.
I have cousins. Don't worry about it. The government told me who they are. No, and this is just a very weird aside that I've started telling, but my cousins, three girls, Leah, Andrea, Stephanie, and
made
Stephanie
up,
at one point said to
Stephanie came a little late.
said to her mother at one point, when, because they were doing gymnastics, when am I going to get a Stephanie tard? Because her sister's name was Leah, and she had a leotard.
Oh, that's really cute. You
pretty
made that
cute,
up for the
right?
joke, but it's
pretty
still cute.
And proof that I am not a robot.
It is, but again, this is why this movie, it's like they're talking about swimsuits. Her husband has stolen some sort of golden statue that makes him invincible.
Yep.
But he only stole one part of it.
Is that it? I'd like someone to take a stab at just the what this movie's about.
A stab.
I can make a stab at it's, this plot line.
Well, it's the 20th
Jaguar
anniversary.
Jaguar 1's plot line to me is inscrutable.
Baffling.
By the way, Jaguar 1 is my favorite character of all time.
Like of all time? More so than Indiana Jones?
I think he's a little bit above Indiana Jones.
Wow. On Solo?
Yeah. Jaguar Wong, man. Look at this guy.
Jack Ryan?
What?
Jack Ryan?
Not above Jack Ryan.
Which Jack Ryan?
Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Who's Jack Ryan?
Jack Ryan is...
Literally. I know it roughly as it's an action.
What is it?
It was Tom Clancy wrote these books like where the hero was a guy who did like analytics for the CIA, and it was Harrison Ford originally. Oh, it was Alec Baldwin.
Yes, originally.
Then it was Harrison Ford, and then it was
Ben Affleck,
and then it was Chris Pine.
Jesus, four generations of Jack.
There's multiple ones.
It's not always Jack Ryan.
Oh my
What's
God.
One of the movies called?
Patriot Games.
Yeah.
Hunt for Red October.
Okay.
And this is different from Jack Reacher.
This is different from Jack Reacher.
Oh my God,
and
I love Jack Reacher.
There's about to be a TV show where Krasinski plays Jack Ryan.
Exactly.
This seems excessive.
And there's fans in the audience. I love that you guys are like, we're still on board for Jack Ryan, even though everyone has shit it out.
I will never know who Jack Ryan is.
I don't think you need to. Like, no.
I would argue it's the most important thing you don't know.
I think it's important for my career that I never know who Jack Ryan is.
She just said it on stage. She didn't know, and it was so bold of her to say it. And
damn, Hunt for Red October is part of a... Who cares?
It was the start of a whatever you call six movies.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Double trilogy.
Double trilogy.
Well, I am obsessed with what I think. Well, we'll get into Jaguar because I want to talk about Richard Harrison.
Breathless.
So Richard Harrison storyline is essentially he's the husband of a very successful fashion designer.
Yes.
And he also happens to be a ninja.
Yes.
He and his buddies used to work for the ninja organization.
The Ninja Empire.
The Ninja Empire.
And in the beginning, they're celebrating their 20th anniversary.
Yeah, wait. So in the beginning, they're like, for the 20th anniversary, we want you to see this thing.
This thing.
Yeah.
At which point, him, the other guy with eyeliner.
Like, yeah. he looks like a little bit of a sweaty Steve Irwin.
Yep.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Sweaty Steve Irwin. Sweaty Irwin.
And the third guy who gets killed and whose sister is part of it.
Yes.
Those three then steal the statue and divide it between them?
Oh, no.
No?
Wait, yes.
I have no idea.
Okay, actually, hang on.
No clue.
What do you think
follow.
It is?
I don't think so. I think there's only one piece of that statue missing.
Okay. And the statue's like this. It's like the head of the guy, and then one arm comes in. I watched the first scene in great detail. Like, I was paying attention, so I could really explain it.
Your
another
everything.
One comes in, and the sword, right?
It's, yeah, it's yes. an amazing, yeah, this is, yeah, it's an amazing,
yeah, you were watching
I kind of wanted
direction.
To Google this.
Abby loved the shots.
Yeah,
yes,
this is,
I was,
oh, yeah.
I'm going to take a lot from this, shots-wise.
Yeah, that is,
yeah, that's an Abby shot, right?
Did I not just that out?
Isn't that satisfying?
That was satisfying. Yeah. I know, I enjoyed that.
So yeah, they steal that. So you think they only steal one piece?
I thought they stole one piece, and then at the end, that one piece is placed back in. That's
you
all I
right.
know about this movie.
Well, but meanwhile, it seems like he stole that piece, and he's just fine to be hanging with his wife, polishing his swords.
All of them are living ordinary lives,
well,
where they're just like hanging in their homes, waiting for tiny robots to deliver VHS tapes to them.
The robot. Oh,
wait.
Yes.
Okay.
Please.
When the robot. Okay.
Yeah.
When the robot comes.
Abby fired up about the robot.
wait. Hold on.
Like that. I thought it was like gas that should make him
pass out.
Sure. It's just smoke, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he rolls. This is obviously a visual scene, but I want to play it for the audience because it's so great. He answers the door.
Look at that tushy.
Gas comes in. Quick roll.
Yeah.
Quick roll.
Yes.
In karate stance. Baby robot.
The robot The robot is so small.
He looks at the robot so... They're also confused by the robot.
Here's what also happens. Look at how the robot is never shown in full moving. Oh, there it is. I lied. Okay. But...
You have just 3 days to return the Golden Ninja Warrior to our master. Hear and obey.
Okay. That
he's going to get the phone right now. Watch
phone
this.
Call says all the same things the robot just said.
Unbelievable.
Garfield phone.
I believe that you received a death message from our ninja empire.
Ninja not holding it to his head.
You double-crossed it. Why did you do that?
The ninja empire is evil. I have to reform the ninja empire.
Insane.
That is why I took away the golden ninja warrior.
You've got 3 days in which to return the golden ninja warrior, or else you die.
He's not holding it to its head.
June and Paul, you guys watched this separately?
Yes, because we were separate last night. So
is everything okay?
I was here.
Marriages can be lost.
It's none of your goddamn business. Why don't you and your cousins stay the fuck out of this, man?
I'm just like wondering how much time you took out of your unit to watch this. And I'm impressed that you didn't double up to make it more efficient.
It was really hard to watch it alone.
I felt bad because I was like, I wish I was with her because I think I could have made it slightly... Like,
yeah, it would have been. Like, I'm like, I can't believe you.
Yeah, I feel like I really let you out to dry.
Really tried to follow it.
That way about June, but not the rest of us. The rest of us, you're like, you're like, fine, fuck you.
I know June has very delicate sensibilities. I was nervous for her.
I also did like this movie through the lens of masculinity. I found interesting. Starting with the fucking Garfield phone.
You know what I appreciated about this film? I can't believe it was made in 1985, because seeing all the 70s clothes, I did think the men looked great.
They did.
They look great. Men's bodies look the best they're ever going to look in this type of outfit.
Yes,
like a
shorter.
Bottom and
the shorts were short. The pants were chill.
So wait, you're saying men's
bodies. You're saying men's bodies look best in ninja outfits.
No, I don't mean the ninja outfits. I mean an outfit like
a blazer with an open shirt under it.
It's mostly about the pants.
Richard Harrison also has baby tees, the guys wearing short little slimy t-shirts. They're all wearing teen girls tops. It's weird and kind of cute.
TGTs, baby, tiny girls tops.
I think a 70s suit is the best.
Gotta get those TGTs.
Well, I'm surprised.
I mean, I also thought everybody looked great in the movie. I don't know that this is the apex of men's bodies and fashion. That you perhaps think
they've never come together in a way that's made sense before this film.
And this is why you got fired as the editor of GQ, right? Just still the Richard Harrison.
I do think, men's fashion, it's sort of a mess. And when I see a 70s suit, that fits a male body.
Yeah. I've been watching a lot of reruns of Magnum P.I. Encore television twice a day. Don't worry about it. And Thomas Magnum dresses pretty amazingly. Yeah. It is great fitted shirts and then
short shorts.
His shorts hit him like shorts.
They probably look better than the longer shorts.
Cannot get enough of a man's thigh, baby.
Absolutely.
A man's thigh. I love it.
I have tried to get Paul into a shorter swim trunk.
Yes!
And it is
good. Do it, Paul.
You
literally have to be a modern man, Paul. You
won't
have
do it.
To do
I don't
it.
I feel you awful about
after
it.
This show, after we've all agreed upon it, you have
fashion
to do it.
Show.
Fashion show. Fashion show.
I have these shorts.
Fashion show.
Bring
somebody,
out the shorts.
Somebody
bring
go
out
up.
The shorts.
Bring out the shorts.
It's like someone in the audience, the fashion designer in the audience. I have these. They're good for indoor and outdoor wear.
You have to, Paul.
Welcome to the 2000s. Bathing suits?
What's that?
Do you wear shorter shorts?
I wear a medium bathing suit.
No, I don't wear a
9-inch. I will wear a 7-inch. If you know what I mean. You know, so it can protect my 1-inch dick.
It's above your knee.
Yes, it's above
of
my
course.
Knee. It's
of
above
course.
My knee. Because I respect myself.
Paul's bathing suits are definitely above his knee. I mean,
thank
that's
you.
Like a
thank you for defending
Paul's
not
gonna
above my
short, baby.
I wear a short and then culottes on top of it.
There, I guess there's
I wear leggings and then a nice bathing suit over the. It's really nice.
Cute.
I wear like an old timey bathing suit. It's wool.
Nice. Onesie. Nice.
And a box like this.
Yeah, cool.
Oh, do you like to cook? I like to cook. Do you like to order in? But are you looking at those receipts and going, I'm a fucking moron. I'm wasting all of my money here. Well, here is the solution. Okay, springtime is a great time to hit reset and re-tackle personal goals like getting fit, cleaning, and cooking. Okay, and Blue Apron is going to make home cooking for you so easy. Stick to your spring break motto. You're going to start spending more time at home, not going out, not dressing up in clown makeup and murdering a bunch of people down the block because you have to make the voices stop. No, you're going to spend time at home making delicious meals, and Blue Apron is going to make it easy because each one of their meals is less than $10. You can even customize your recipes based on your preferences and select a delivery option that is right for you. There is no weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you want them. Check out some of these meals. We got warm smoked trout and asparagus salad with fingerling potatoes and garlic croutons. We got spiced zucchini enchiladas with creamy lime and tomato rice. We got elote style vegetables tostadas with summer squash, poblano peppers, and cilantro rice. Plus, check this out, some peach honey glazed chicken with mashed sweet potatoes, collard greens, and tab basil. These are great meals. I have had their enchiladas, which are amazing. Actually, they're my enchiladas. Fuck yeah. I'm going to take some ownership over it. I have made their vegetable tostadas, and I am the best. Why don't you be the best and make a meal at home from scratch? Impress your roommate, impress your partner, impress your children, impress whoever you want to impress, because cooking is going to be the only commodity that makes a difference in the new world when, you know, the apocalypse happens. So make sure you know how to cook and save the recipe cards so you can, you know, continue to make these dishes while you get new dishes. You're learning, you're expanding, you're growing. Take a look. It's in a book. It's Reading Rainbow, but it's not Reading Rainbow. It's Blue Apron. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/bonkers. That's blueapron.com/bonkers. No joke. Three meals for free. Try it. What do you got to lose? Nothing. And by the way, when you do try it, it helps Blue Apron know that they are advertising on the right show. Go to blueapron.com/bonkers. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Hey, are you a fan of Hollywood Handbook? I think it's one of the funniest shows on Earwolf. It's very inside about Hollywood, but you don't have to be inside Hollywood to get it. You will just enjoy it even more. But I would say it just pokes fun at an industry that is full of navel-gazing. And this tradition is continued with Hollywood Masterclass with Schlonk Lemons on Stitcher Premium. Hollywood Masterclass is in the vein of those masterclasses that you can get online with like Shonda Rhimes and Steve Martin. They're actually pretty interesting. And Schlonk Lemons guides Hollywood Handbook reoccurring guest Ben Rogers through the world of the artist, and they don't let up until they've completed their contractual agreement. You won't want to miss this 6-episode Stitcher Premium exclusive. I am on it as an improv teacher. It is really stupid. It is really funny. To hear the trailer and start your free trial, go to stitcherpremium.com/masterclass and use the promo code BONKERS, that's BONKERS, at checkout to get 1 month for free. That's stitcherpremium.com/masterclass and use the promo code BONKERS. I can only speak right now for my episode, and I think you will really like it. If you like Hollywood Handbook, you're going to fucking love it. And I want to talk to Stitcher Premium. It's the best. I've switched over from HAL now. Everything's on there. It's so good. Stitcher Premium, go check it out. You will not regret it. People, back to the show. Well, as we're talking about sexy stuff, we should talk about some of the sex scenes in this movie.
Oh, my God.
Which,
yeah.
Two pretty interesting sex scenes, right?
Yeah. That guy goes down on that girl for a long time.
Oh, missed that one. Show it again.
Honestly, I was like in and out. Okay. I was a little in and out of this movie.
Sure.
Maybe no other way to be.
Yeah,
right?
I was
like, good for you, by the way. If you were like, I focused only on this, I would be worried.
Yeah, but this really, like, caught me off guard.
Sure. Yeah, baby. What am I looking at?
This shot specifically, I was like, wow,
Yeah.
Both sex scenes are graphic in a way, but also restrained, because they feel like it's they're not fully naked.
Oh
it's
my gosh.
No, you never.
I love this movie.
So here we go. So he just kind of goes right down on his girlfriend.
Yes. Oh my God, look at her hairy armpit. Yes! And I'm loving this. Favorite movie. Love it.
And she is just, and she and is pleasuring to blooming carnations.
Okay.
Oh, guys.
Carnations bloom.
He's so good at it, he made her bloom.
But we didn't realize like that we were using that bloom as an homage on our show. We do that, we cut to a blooming flower, right?
Oh, nice. Did you take, you stole, you, your got
you ripped off this movie.
Yeah. Wow.
Sometimes you need to learn your history in retrospect.
Well, I didn't really see the sex scenes because I was at the airport, and every time they came on, I felt uncomfortable.
This sex scene like with Victor was a little bit more uncomfortable.
Weird.
And this one, so he's like, he just goes to town. But this is the moment that I want.
Oh my goodness!
There's a lot of lower leg by head in this movie.
So Victor is also going down to a certain point. But then they cut to a silhouette.
Yeah.
So he's going down on her. Then they cut to a silhouette.
Is it the same woman? Is it a different woman?
And I was like, wait a minute.
In his turtleneck.
Christ.
And look at this. Boom. There's silhouette of just fucking.
There's no way they could be having sex from that angle.
I have to say that this is honestly not rapey, pleasure-centric of the woman.
Oh, yeah.
It's like gentle.
This is maybe one of the most feminist movies we've ever done.
The Hercules one sounds terrifying.
A ninja movie that is random scenes cut together might be the most pro-feminist movie we have ever done.
On two separate occasions to focus on the woman's pleasure in 1985, I'm impressed.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was hot. Sure. Jesus.
Like, both of these scenes are constantly focusing on her pleasure.
They don't
even pay attention to him.
Godfrey Ho, ladies and gentlemen.
Godfrey Ho knows how to do it.
Damn.
And Victor is a very complicated character because she doesn't love Victor, right? That's
No, she loves Jaguar One.
Jaguar One.
The Jaguar One plotline, if you can tell me what it is,
I'll tell you exactly what it is. Wherever he goes, a gang of people try to fight him. He easily defeats them, and then he walks away.
Well, but
he's barely equipped. Like, he doesn't even go like, haha, you shouldn't have, he's like...
But why was it, he wasn't even close to tied into the storyline of the stolen idol, was he?
No.
Not until late in the movie when blonde Magnum P.I. calls him and is like, hey, we gotta get the sister so we can switch the kidnappings and whatever.
Well, this movie, I mean, we talked about, like, the idea that it's so dumb.
And who is the blonde wig?
Well, that...
Oh, my God.
I know he's the bad guy,
blonde
but...
Blonde wig was...
He's one
so
of,
confusing. It was that was like just so confusing.
That was an amazing
in every like
choice.
Demographic way.
This is
racially,
the blonde wig
gender
guy.
Wise, sexually. It is so confusing to me
because it is clearly that's a woman's wig.
It's okay. like a Dutch
do
boy
we have to be,
wig.
Yeah. Do we have to be gender specific that right now with that? Like it's just a blonde wig.
In 85, this is a lady's wig. Hyper mask.
I don't know. It's a Dutch boy cut, right? Which has boy in the title.
Well, how about this? Were you surprised when this happened? When he puts his finger to his head. Boom.
Oh, shit.
And it's revealed as if, check that shit out. Like, it is like,
or is it to,
I'm your father. It's like, well, yeah.
Or as if to say the wig was hiding his true identity. Which it's not.
It's not. Yeah. His regular hair is just the same haircut in a different color.
And if anything, like if someone you knew came in with that crazy blonde wig, you'd stare at them for so long because they have an insane wig on their head.
Yeah.
Well, his real hair is pretty.
He clearly makes people listen to him from the top of the stairwell, and they all are probably just staring at his wig. That's why they're being bad, like henchmen, because they're not taking any.
They're all like, ooh, are you going to tell him or should I tell him?
Wig does not look good.
Nobody's buying that wig.
Is it Dutch boy or Dutch girl wig? We don't know. He's feel uncomfortable saying it.
Let's just all go home and eat our girlfriends out.
So this movie to me did
something.
That's
for you guys too. Let's all go home and eat our girlfriends out, okay? And when you're doing it, just come up and give a little thumbs up and be like, this one's for How Did This Get Made?
And then slowly push your wig off. It's me!
Everybody, tonight, on your way home, stop off, buy a blonde wig.
Put it
and
on.
And role-play this movie in bed.
And by the way, guys, girls, whoever, whatever you want to do, just get the wig. One of you has to have the wig,
yep.
And one of you has to go down on each other. It's
that's,
fine.
That's just where we're at in 2017.
And when you're done, you should say that one was for Jaguar Wong.
Yeah.
You know? Here, this is... To me, the hubris of the dubbing here.
Because, yeah, he's a great scene.
Because
he's a great scene.
Or you could say, you could also say, like, I'm going to make you Jaguar come.
Oh,
that's
my
great.
Goodness.
It's not bad.
Not bad at all.
It's okay. It's not bad. It's not great. I can do better.
So
I'm going to think about it.
It's okay.
They're at this funeral thing. They're so bold in their dubbing that one of the characters leaves frame.
Suspicious.
You'll see.
Chico.
And continues to talk. And he's almost cut out of the shot. And he's the only person talking.
That we didn't know about? Like drugs or smuggling or maybe even...
Clearly not there.
I mean, why would anyone want to get rid of Kumashi?
This is insane.
And then get evidence.
It's an exposition dump by a character who's not on screen.
He is off-screen, and I actually stopped it to be like, did I not get, like, the widescreen version of this? And I searched on three different places, and that was it.
You found three different places?
Yeah.
Wow.
Almost half of the screen is this hay mound.
Yeah.
And not the person speaking. Can I also say real quick
Please.
That you, we, I watched it via link.
Yes.
But what you also sent us... Like? The hard copy of this movie. We each have a copy of this.
I forget.
Again, you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
I wanted to make sure that you didn't miss.
Now, here's my question. Was that hard copy developed, delivered as a VHS tape by a tiny robot?
Yeah.
And you guys were were so freaked out, you rolled out of the way.
Yeah.
By the way, they are superheroes, these ninjas, because at one point, Richard Harrison comes home, and you see him, like, just walking to the kitchen. And within an instant, he is fully changed into a ninja costume.
Wow.
And in a
second.
In a second.
Yeah.
Quicker than Superman, even.
Yes, than Superman, which is, we all know, the quickest.
I mean, on record.
Yes. I mean. That, plus the idea that I couldn't quite figure out, is if they have stolen the ninja idol, or whatever it's called, him, the other eyeliner guy, and the other guy's dead now, we know that, but... If they're just there at their homes, if the Ninja Empire can call them and send them robots, why don't they just come and get it? You know, like, why don't they just send all their guys? Why are they like, you have 3 days to bring us the idol, even though we know where you are and that your wife is designing bathing suits for aerobics?
It's a very, like, flirty medium. I feel like it's just sort of, like, homoerotic play and, like, showing your skills and, like, getting horny from the robot that symbolizes the other dude who wants to really fuck you up. Like, I think it's just homoerotic.
The robot is
I'm
horny?
I'm like, go and...
I guess I'm with you until you're like, the robot gets you horny.
No. The robot is like, yeah, it gets you horny. It's like suspenseful, like, slow crawling up to Richard Harrison, you know what I mean? And, like, he's like, oh,
robot.
God, that guy sent this. Oh, God. It's just, like, homoerotic. It's like, I think the fashion is like ready for boners. I feel like it is all sort of.
Well, that's why she probably wanted
for boners.
That's probably why she wanted more pleats in the pants.
Yeah, I think it's
the idea of like a ninja is a very sexy thing. It's like we're not gonna just come get you. We're gonna like really like bring you in. Like you know like so.
Well, part of the thing about ninjas though is that they're supposed to operate. They're wearing like black cloaks and in this one sometimes red. They're supposed to like blend into the dark. And they are constantly out in the middle of the day, jumping down the street, running down the steps. It's like...
Sometimes teleporting, sometimes cartwheeling.
Yes.
Cartwheeling is not getting anywhere quicker than running.
Running there.
I mean, just don't get me wrong, it looks great.
Yeah.
Like, I'd love to see somebody just, like, cartwheel commuting to work.
One of the weird things about the fight scenes... they were pleasant to watch, but as soon as
that's the pull quote for this movie.
There were a lot of 3-on-1 fight scenes with Jaguar. Like he would go into a situation, there'd be three guys and just one of him. And a lot of times, when the men realized they were not going to win a fight with Jaguar, they would just then stand there and like take their hits.
Yes,
it's very interesting.
I love it. I wrote one note in my phone that I didn't bring on stage because I'm a professional.
Good, smart.
And it was about a scene where someone was getting their nose twisted for quite a while,
and
standing there like this.
Yeah.
As they got their pain. Nose twisted with their hands just up in the air. I love you rushing to take that note.
Is so cute to
and
me.
I
rushing
to mark it
twisting
down.
Twisting nose,
to
write
that one nose down.
Not
with
reacting.
Hands in the air.
I felt like it was almost a sign of reverence. Like, you got the best out of me, and now have your way with me.
Yeah.
And now my body is yours.
There is definitely submission that happens in these fights. Like, once beaten, they have to submit.
And to be humiliated, though.
Yeah.
Like, to have their noses
on
twisted.
Board.
And
yeah. I'm on board. All the,
and so horny.
Ninja sexuality.
Oh, yeah.
And I love it.
There's a lot of, sexy ninja play that's going to happen in beds tonight.
They're also their ninja bones seem to make sounds of creaky boards. like whenever they're torturing, it does feel like they're made out of wood and you're just drilling a nail into
it. My question is, what does the ninja society that this thing has been taken from do on a day-to-day?
Yeah. What are their day-to-day operations?
Train and groom.
What's
are
that?
They, train and groom.
Are they a criminal or are they
a
criminal organization?
What is their mission statement?
No,
apply eye makeup.
Yeah, practice eyeliner, train and groom.
But ninjas, are they known for, protecting people?
Are you asking what is a ninja?
I guess so.
No, I think ninjas are usually kind of the faceless armies of bad guys. You know, they are not, they usually are the cannon fodder, I feel for evil men. We never really understood who the evil mastermind was. Was it Blondwig?
I think the guy in the beginning when he puts the statue together.
Red suit?
Yeah, he puts the statue together and he's like, watch this, I can cut my own arm with a sword and it doesn't affect me. Which I thought was a bold move that he did it on himself first. I think if you were really evil, you would do it on... Or I guess, I don't know. I guess
if you did it on someone else, though, you might cut their arm. But you might do it to someone else, cut their arm off to be like, see, the blade is real.
Right.
So now watch.
Now I'm like a magician. I'm showing
otherwise,
you.
Otherwise, I might think he's David Blaine-ing me.
Yeah.
You know?
Clearly, it's a fake knife.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of the Texan that was in the middle of this movie? This is after Jaguar Wong fights the J-pop group.
Oh, I do love this fashion.
These guys, can you rewind right here for just a second? These guys walking in unison blew my mind. I loved what.
This outfit is very hot.
See, these men look great. Turtleneck.
Love it. And a trench.
Boom.
Wow.
Boom. Boom.
Yes.
Boom.
The first guy, I don't know.
How fucking rad is that?
The last three are good.
If you can deal with that four dragons, you're really tough.
Love the tushies and the tight pants. Chewing gum.
Oh, yeah. High-waisted pants. Boom. 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 These guys are fucking awesome.
They get into a big fight, and then...
That guy just tosses his jacket away.
This is my favorite guy.
Oh, this guy's amazing. The shop owner... He's like, the pawn shop owner who he tried to sell a ring to comes and is like, I want to fight you because you tried to sell me my brother's ring and I need revenge?
I guess.
Is this fight...
I don't understand how
this
fits.
Is this fight not within the storyline of the main story? Like, does Jaguar 1 just keep amassing more and more people to fight against?
It seems that way. It seems like his only journey is fighting, and then his amazing cigarette ploy at the end, which I want to talk about,
too. Are
there
more Jaguar 1 movies? I think I want to watch them.
Also, Godfrey Ho, bulk filmed and then just distributed the footage throughout 115 movies in 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just I guess he did amass. But, it's just, different movies. Just
do you think that he took Jaguar 1 and then he's like, okay, now you're part of the attackers. Now one of you attackers, you come here and now you're the star of the movie. They just kept on rotating them.
And general confusion to make us follow.
I would,
or something. Just this is a genre.
I would love it if this
honestly,
was...
Honestly, I think the joke's on us.
Yo, you think?
I think the joke's on us.
That's
trying to figure out what this
and
is
I think
about.
The joke has been going on for 7 years.
That's true.
here is our southern guy who's the pawn shop guy.
He's fucking cool.
That ring you brought into my shop didn't belong to you. It belonged to my brother, and I'm here to take revenge now.
Full on, from Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah.
This guy in the middle of Hong
Kong. It's like Roscoe P. Coltrane.
It's
from the Dukes of Hazzard?
Paul, I'd like to see you in a turtleneck.
And a trench.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Turtleneck trousers, short shorts.
You always are trying to put me in a turtleneck. I don't like it.
I know.
Oh, boy.
You could do it as like a half bit, half sincere, and like
maybe do a mock,
get into
maybe
the
do a mock
realm.
Tea, a mock turtleneck.
Yeah, mock turtleneck.
Short shorts.
Pleated.
Long-ass trench.
Pleated short shorts.
I just like walk around Silver Lake. It'll be fine.
It'll be a bit at first, and then people will be like, I love this. You'll be like, it's a bit. And then you'll get enough compliments that it'll switch into sincerity, and you won't have to explain it anymore.
And I'll just be that guy. Yeah, I'll just be like with the mock turtleneck.
Who's that dude dressed like Jaguar One?
Oh, that's Paul Scheer.
That's Paul Scheer?
He'll do one of these. Because there were just two within 10 seconds.
Hey, everybody. Let me tell you something. We have a sponsor here called Sonos. You know I love Sonos. I've had Sonos in my house for a very, very long time. I think it's easy. I think it's convenient. And I think it's amazing to be able to play music in whatever room you're in. And they sent me a product called a Playbase, which I have now put in my office. And it is amazing, okay? Think of it like this. Remember when people used to buy like 5 or 6 speakers and have a big AV piece of equipment and then play it all and you have to have all these wires around? Well, guess what? Playbase has eliminated all of that. It is this amazing standout little product that fits right underneath your TV. It's like just slightly larger than what you would assume like a DVD player looks like or a Blu-ray player. It's thin, it's small, it's one wire, and the sound is going to knock your mother fucking socks off. That's not in the ad copy. I'm just telling you, it is amazing. People come by my office and be like, whoa, what did you do in here? I was like, it's just the Playbase. This is not hyperbole. Playbase kills it. From movies to sports to TV shows, this slim, low-profile Playbase adds dynamic, pulse-pounding stereo to whatever is playing on your TV, and it even streams your favorite music when it's off. That's my feature that I love. I love that you can just stream right from your phone. Plus, since it was created for TVs that sit on stands and furniture, Playbase as low-profile design practically disappears with your TV. People come in and they literally ask, it sounds like I'm making this up. They ask, where is the sound system? They don't see it. That is true. It is a like a sales pitch, but it is actually very true. No wall mount is needed. You don't even have to read the manual. It's one thing. The Sono app guides you through the entire step. Everything sounds better on Playbase. Go see it for yourself. Go to Sonos.com to learn more. That's Sonos.com. Sonos.com. Check out that Playbase. Let's talk to the audience. Let's see what the audience has to say about this movie. Woo! Gonna come out there. And,
Let's make sure that the standing people get some questions in too.
Yeah, I'm gonna go.
Really,
all right, I'm gonna go out here.
Getting those quads fired up.
Thanks coming, y'all.
All right, here we go. All right, sir, you got some notes out. I'm gonna ask for your name and let's see. What would you call this movie? What would be your title for the movie and your question? Here we go.
My name is Mitch. I call it The Oral Ninja Going Down.
Got it. Love it.
Not
okay,
bad.
You guys didn't talk about the bad guy ninja that jumped off the dock and got buried in sand like sand physics doesn't exist.
Yeah, the bad guy at the end jumps maybe 4 feet and gets up to his knees in sand. Jason, how did that happen?
Totally normal, man. I mean, like, let's go. Let's fucking go to the beach right now. I'll show you how it's done.
I'm going to go around here. Wow, we got a lot of people are going to go out here.
Silly,
I'm in the way back.
Silly.
I'm in the standing room.
Yeah.
Only people. All right, here we go. Here we go.
Cool kids stand in the back.
You guys are strong. All right.
Your name, your title, and your question.
Later.
Kiana. Teal camouflage ninja, I guess.
I like that. Teal camouflage ninja. Yeah.
Great. We've talked a lot about the Garfield landline phone. What other Garfield household appliances would a ninja own?
What other Garfield appliances would you own? I don't even know.
I mean, Avi, Garfield lasagna maker. Like, that's just a number one. It's like the Snoopy snow cone machine, except it's for lasagna.
Alarm clock.
Alarm clock.
Joy, yes, of course.
Well, I think any good ninja would also have an Odie of some kind in the house.
You know what? Fuck Odie.
No, I'm
fuck Odie. Fuck Jim.
No, I'm full on Odie.
I like
fuck
an
Nermal.
Odie.
Fuck Nermal and Jim, but I'm Odie. I would say an Odie smoking device or an
like
Odie,
an Odie pipe.
Odie bong.
Yeah, an Odie pipe or an Odie vibrator is funny.
Yeah.
Odie's
those
long,
two in
those
long vibrating
two
ears.
In one, a vibrating smoking device.
Ooh, I love
Alana.
Somebody make an Odie vibrator, please. This is San Francisco. You guys have the tech to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, come on.
The new, like, rabbit thing.
Come on, do we have
Odie?
Any VCs in the house?
All right, sir, your name
is... Finance
your...
this. Give us the money for terrible ideas.
Give we got how did this money. Get made t-shirts, Odie vibrators.
Yep. And a normal glass pipe called the thermal normal. Guys!
I want a partnership
yes!
with Spencer's, baby.
Sir, your name, you your title, and your question.
Okay. My name's Raul. My title's Far Eastern Promises.
Far Eastern
Ooh,
Promises?
Nice.
Okay.
Wow.
I thought the most compelling storyline was the robot's journey from the first guy to the second guy. He must.
You think it's the same robot? I thought that they had like an army of robots that they sent out. And I was thinking that that robot was like sent from the house. Like, so it was on a very long journey.
Walked from that house to the other house. That's why it took him so long in the movie.
It's not a fast moving robot.
I appreciate
for sure.
Wait, it also like knocked on the door, rang the doorbell,
yeah.
right?
How? How?
I don't
it's
know.
It's maybe
I don't know.
10 inches tall. How did it ring the doorbell?
I have no idea.
Smart. That's a good question.
All like, right.
I agree. There are real question marks around these robots and how they function.
By the way, just
like,
look
I feel
at the
like
screen
if a
right
robot,
now.
If a robot walked into my house...
Hold on. Hold on, guys. June, what did you just say?
First of all, that would be... If one of these tiny fucking robots walked into my home, it would be my worst nightmare. But what
would you
I
rather...
Would
okay.
do,
what would you rather have in your home? Like, you see it fly by, and you're like, Paul, in the other room, there is a... One, giant spider. Two, rat. Three, robot.
Spider.
Der.
Of course.
Cool.
A rat.
We got there.
Okay. But what I would do with a robot, if that robot walked into my home, I would just go over and kick it really, really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, your go-to is, like, violence. Quick violence.
Yeah, but I feel like there was no response to these robots that made any sense. Like, just kick them, throw them, get them the fuck out of there.
Wait, did it even leave?
Pick it up and throw it.
Did the robot even leave? He just got the call. What happened?
That's true. Does the robot then go home? Like, is the robot like, well, my job's done. I get to chill out for the rest of the night.
Whole movie made no sense. He's on call.
Like, okay, here's the other thing. If you were to go out in the world of this movie, wouldn't there be just tiny robots delivering messages all over town? Like, is that just part of the world building of these movies?
It's like a modern telegram. A
yeah.
robot delivers it.
Okay, here
Thank
we go,
you,
ma'am.
Paul.
Your name.
It's like
your
Game
title.
Of Thrones with a
with a raven.
I've just gotten a robot, and it's told me that, you know, like, is that the methodology with
Send
these people?
Send him a robot.
I can just call him. Call him immediately after the robot arrives.
Make sure the message was received. I don't trust that robot. Okay, ma'am, your name, your title, and your question. I got the mic.
My name is Kim. My title is Sexy Can I? And then dot, dot, dot. And then my question is, fuck, marry, kill, Jaguar One, Harrison, and blonde wig guy.
Okay.
Great question.
Fuck, marry, kill.
Great question.
Okay. Jaguar One, the blonde
fuck,
wig
kill,
evil guy.
Blonde wig, Harrison.
And Harrison is the Garfield phone?
Yes.
And Harrison is Garfield phone and Jaguar One.
Jaguar One is like dope outfits.
Jaguar, yeah, that's Jaguar One right there.
Wait,
by the way,
the first
that's
one?
Three great Jaguar Ones. That's like
oh my God, he's
by
hot.
The way, that's just Paul's desktop.
I would I'd fuck blonde wig. I'd
you should see my,
fuck
see my Jack Ryan desktop.
I'd fuck the blonde wig. I'd marry Jaguar Wong, and then I would kill Richard Harrison.
Wow.
Oh yeah, I would kill blonde wig.
I'd kill blonde wig too.
Yeah. Fuck Richard Harrison and marry Jaguar One.
Because
I want
that.
Him going down on me all day, every day,
yeah.
for the rest of my life.
That.
Right? I know he's a tender lover. Richard Harrison, unclear.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to give
yeah,
him one shot
right.
at it.
I just think blonde wig is like, it's just like interesting. I would do that once.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like blonde wig is up to some like stuff that's uncomfortable.
I guess I'm willing to see what it is.
I feel like a safe space.
You're more wig curious.
I'm curious about this person who is like so blind to reality that he thinks he's fully masked by a wig.
But just like a tiny like,
wig. That's his mental illness. Yeah.
All right,
it's
I got
enough. Emotional disturbance.
Sir, your name, your title, and your question.
My name is Chris. My title would be Taken Down and Going Down, the Jaguar One story.
Yeah. Yep. That's great.
And my question is, immediately after Jaguar defuses the quote-unquote most sophisticated time bomb that he just pulls a cord randomly, and he goes to arrest blonde wig guy. Like, he says the words, you're under arrest. Was Jaguar a cop the entire film?
I don't think so, because doesn't Richard Harrison call him and be like, we're like buddies? Like, I didn't feel like he's like calling the police.
I thought that Jaguar was working for Richard Harrison.
Like, they were like almost like private detectives together.
He calls him boss a couple times in the movie.
That's true.
They have a secret police force.
Do you think Jaguar One thinks that Richard Harrison is Bruce Springsteen?
All right, yes, come on over here.
By the way, I would love it if in the middle of this movie he just started singing Bruce Springsteen songs.
All right, your name, your question, your name, your title, and your question.
My name is Amelia. My question is, or my title is Garfield Awakes, and I made these drawings for you.
Oh my gosh, that's so nice. Thank you so much.
Hi, Amelia.
They're specific.
Good job, girl.
They're specific. Oh my gosh, they're us as the characters. I am the leader of the Ninja Empire.
Hilarious.
June, you are the blonde wigged person.
Yeah.
And Jason Jaguar Wong.
Yeah!
Thank you so much. Those are awesome.
Am I just like,
I'll put these up online so you can
Garfield
see
Garfield awaits, baby.
Can you know? Do you know that I'm Jaguar One? Because in the drawing, I'm just feasting on pussy.
Your face in this drawing is obscured by a woman's vagina.
Okay, great. Jaguar One.
All right, sir. Your name, your title, and your question.
My name's Antonio. Title would be Fruit Ninja.
Nice.
The scene.
Oh, the Fruit Ninja. We didn't talk about that.
Oh, that's yeah.
And then my question, or how come we didn't talk about the snuff film they were watching with his wife? Harrison was watching with his wife.
That was pretty crazy.
Yeah, they sit and they watch a snuff film so, like, as if they were watching, like, CSI Miami.
Well, I had to, that's what I had to figure, like, oh, they must not know what they're watching. Like, the actors, because the, is it Blonde Wig that sends them the tape? Who sends them the tape?
Blonde Wig.
And they send him the tape of the sister of the murdered guy who belongs with them that they stole the stuff with. I don't
How
care.
Do you follow
and,
this?
And they're like, we've got the sister,
honestly,
and
like,
we're torturing her. Right? That's the whole thing. But Richard Harrison and his wife watch it like maybe it's going to get them horny. You know, like it's like in that. That's how I felt like it was being watched by them. Maybe I'm projecting.
No, she certainly didn't seem to have much of a reaction to it.
Yeah, and you would think she would.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, sir, your name, your title, and your question.
My name is Roger, and it'd be Three Stooges Ninja. And my question is, why would you wear a camouflage ninja suit when you primarily fight indoors?
Sure. Yeah, and in broad daylight, like, you know, in a cityscape. And your primary opponent is watermelons that you then eat later.
Was he practicing his ninja skills by cutting that watermelon? Because he's not eating the watermelon later. The sad Steve Irwin's eating that watermelon.
Oh, wait, it's not him eating the watermelon?
No, sad Steve Irwin is like eating that watermelon, and then
sweaty.
The robot comes in.
Sad Steve Irwin?
Yeah.
I like sweaty Steve Irwin.
I did
Irwin
really
better.
Like that shot of the watermelon. I'm all about the shots.
This is an
She's
amazing
all
sequence.
All about the shots.
It's great.
So he gets up, he does a handstand, rolls.
Oh, that's funny. Ew.
Eyeliner full on.
The eyeliner is amazing.
The eyeliner is incredible, and it's like, it feels racial.
He faces off against the watermelon, cuts off his top.
It's crazy.
Zorro swords it.
This was shot like in the late 70s, cut in
Kaboom.
10 years later.
By the way, he could not have cut it
Sex,
in that
intercourse,
way.
Intercourse, symbol.
He's slicing yes. horizontal, and it breaks vertically.
I also just like the respect that he pays
Crazy.
To the watermelon. Like, I have defeated you, yeah. watermelon.
I like wonder if Richard Harrison was like finishing filming and like blowing lines and fucking young women. Like, was he a rock star for this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Was he finding?
Oh, that's
This is
it's this guy eating watermelon.
Yeah, that's the guy who I think.
I guarantee they shot it on the same day, and we're like, well, what should he be doing in the scene? Well, we still have those watermelon pieces. Fucking great. Feed him the fucking watermelon.
There was something that Gil Azari figured out when he did his marathon of watching every episode of Two and a Half Men.
Ew.
That they every episode and nonstop without sleep.
Jesus. And
insane.
And puking and shitting from Two and a Half Men.
Every single episode. And then there was like even like extra episodes in movies and stuff. There was a continuation. And he noticed that every time that they ate pizza, they would use a fork and a knife to cut their pizza.
Get out of here.
And then so this guy also uses a fork and a knife to cut watermelon.
Get over yourself.
Like very.
You're better than eating watermelon normal.
Oh, yum.
What
oh,
a sad dinner.
Now, here's the thing. Isn't that robot outside?
Yeah.
Oh, I
don't
see.
Even
is
think
it outside
was a robot.
I see. Oh, I see. I see. I see.
Yeah, he's outside. They
I didn't
know.
See this.
They're
I
all
did not
over
see this part of the film.
It's a light push.
When a robot calls.
Where was the VHS? Where was the VHS on this robot? That
nowhere.
Robot is arguably like 6 inches tall, maybe?
And clearly stuck behind the little yeah,
the robot
that
could take it over. Could not be less threatening.
Maybe it's like more of an insult than a threat.
And here this dude is just
you know
chilling
I mean?
Out
it's
at
like,
home.
You're just a baby.
Eating some watermelon.
Like, you're going to be afraid of this fucking robot, and they're right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Send them the tiny robots. They'll be so scared.
Yeah. This does kind of make me want to do this, like, to, like, set up a little robot outside someone's house.
Very
watch
good.
Out, friends, with screen
with
doors.
Don't answer it. It's just another one of Abby's robots.
Yeah. This robot was, though, this robot's thing was basically, like, kill yourself.
Yeah.
You should kill yourself. Like, imagine opening doors like, all good ninjas kill themselves. Kill yourself. Hey, robot, don't tell me what to do. But that's all he delivered.
It's as if to say, like, he's that close to killing himself that all it's going to take is, like, the robot tipping him.
He's alone eating that watermelon.
With this.
He's alone eating that watermelon. Yeah.
Everybody in the room is just like, I'm a hair's breadth away from a robot telling me to take myself out. These are desperate times, I agree. But guys, let's live through this, right?
Yes.
Let's not listen to the robots that tell us to take ourselves out. Let's not listen to the robots.
What did we think of Jaguar Wong's final, like, when he's captured, he's tied up, and they're like, hey, can I smoke a cigarette?
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like the dumbest, longest plan. He's like, hey, smoke a cigarette? He's like, sure. He's like, how about these? He's like, nah. I don't smoke those. Can you get my cigarettes or my jacket? The guy's like, okay, yeah, sure. He's like, why don't you smoke one? He's like, all right, sure. And then it was a poison cigarette.
Yeah.
But that plan, for that plan to have worked, is
Do you think that, like, what would have happened if he tried to light Jaguars?
Yeah, put it
first.
In his mouth and light it, yeah.
Or whatever. Like, there's so many ways it could go wrong. Also, what, he's just running around with poison cigarettes?
You know that doesn't work well. Like, one night at a club, he's killed his friend. Yeah.
Or as
too many drinks.
Obviously, we had opinions about this movie, but now it is time for a second opinion.
You gotta see this film. It might be Jacob's Ladder, called from Amazon.
Yes.
Left a good review. Online, rate this movie 5 stars. I wrote with caps lock on.
Yeah.
I can't type.
Okay.
Second opinion.
Woo! Amazing, Kelly! Amazing, you get one of these.
Kelly!
And also here,
good job.
Yes, this
perfect
is a Mitch Hedberg album.
Great
you get
song.
Both.
Yeah. She fucking crushed it.
Slayed, killed, slaughtered, nailed it.
So these are 5-star reviews from Amazon. There's only 18 total. And there's
18 total reviews or 18 total 5 stars?
18 total for the whole movie.
Oh, wow.
So
bring that fucking up. Yeah!
Bring it up. Get on Amazon. Start talking about it. This is by John Peretti. He writes, Everyone shouldn't watch it, but experience it. 5 stars.
Very true.
This one is an odd one. I'm just reading it because I want to talk about it. Stephen Williams wrote, "It's a great," and then in quotes, "sitting at home on a cold night with popcorn," end quotes, "movie." Is that a thing, sitting at home on a cold night with popcorn?
Is that like Netflix and chill? Does that mean
Stephen
like jerking
Williams,
up?
Yes. Yeah.
Stephen Williams, and the title of it is "Great Sitting at Home on a Cold Night with
Jesus.
Popcorn." Dot dot dot. 5 stars.
Wow, specific. This could be like Godfrey Ho's, all his aliases. He like went as Stephen Williams. He went as Peretti or whatever.
In another realm of filmmaking, if you have an open mind, you will enjoy this film to a great extent. If you can understand it, and more especially the ending, then you too are on a genius level.
Oh my God.
Would be on the level of Godfrey Ho. Terminate your chances of owning Ninja Terminator. Regret it. By Kim Fowler, 5 stars.
Right. I think this might be true.
That this is like a test for intelligence.
Well, knowing now how it was spliced together, cut and pasted.
Yes.
Filmmaking. Like, I do think there's something to not watching this for the reasons we all would watch a movie.
Because Paul Forrest does too.
Right, exactly. But watching it in a different frame of mind, I think you might get something.
Yeah,
out
I think
of
if
it.
You were on a major drug, if you had an open mind,
like
this
if you
movie
were,
might
if you
be
had like
genius to
ketamine.
You.
Ketamine.
I was literally was like Special K.
You were on
I've never
like
done.
A horse tranquilizer. Yeah. This movie
if
would
someone,
be rad.
If someone you
could,
drugs.
You could enjoy this movie, and you could probably also make this movie or write this movie if you were on that.
Just like and this movie, I do believe should be watched only in bathing suits,
indoor
bathing
outdoor
suits
bathing
on
suits.
Ketamine.
Yeah.
This is a 1-star review. Sometimes we do a third opinion because the 1-star reviews are
hilarious.
Equally as good. And this is by just a customer, written in 1999.
Oh my God.
I suggest you take this movie off the shelves and never sell it to the public. Straight to the point, it was a waste of money. 1 star. So I just like that he is calling for it to be pulled off of shelves.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't really have to do this, but I will. Would you recommend this movie, Jason?
Oof, Magoof. You know what? Here's the thing. This movie is on YouTube. And I would recommend people kind of like scrubbing through it to just see some of the nonsense. Like, it's worth it to watch Blonde Wig Guy. It's worth, there's a bunch of stuff in here that's worth it. But at a certain point, if you're like, I think I might be done watching this, feel free to stop. Like, because you're not going to miss anything, really. You know, like, storyline-wise, it's impenetrable. So I don't think it's not the kind of movie you watch for the plot. It's the kind of movie, it's like watching Andy Warhol's Sleep, you know, or whatever. Like, it's just like,
it's kind of like a moment at a party. Like, one room has this movie on, you go and you laugh. You like get higher from watching it.
I like that.
Exactly the way to watch. I mean, I watched this.
So it's a room. It's a movie that you should put on in a spare room at a party.
Yes.
When people, so like when
are getting high.
So when people are
exactly
super
right.
high,
yeah.
you can be like, go to the back bedroom. You're gonna be fine.
The way that I watched it, I was at
only
the,
for 10 minutes.
Yeah. I was at the wrong time in my menstrual cycle to watch this film, and it made me angry. It made me very angry.
I have the text to prove it.
Yes. So I think this is not a film to be seen from beginning to end.
Agree.
When you're on your period.
Nor
I mean, that,
when
you were saying
bleeding.
That the period is a big effect.
Ovulating's okay for this movie. Menstruating, it's so good.
I'm surprised we've never come upon this before. One of the questions should be, where in your cycle should you watch
that.
This movie?
By the way, I wish
general.
I had my period. I don't have it. I'm about to get it.
So in a PMS scenario,
it's not a.
This is not a PMS movie.
No.
This is not a PMS. Maybe it's like when you're bleeding, watch this movie.
Yeah. That might be it.
Right before you're bleeding,
but like what?
Don't.
Which day on your cycle?
Second day.
Like second day.
Second day.
So like
second
it's
day.
Still a heavy flow day.
It is.
And
the
you're like, I could watch
day.
A ninja. I could watch a Godfrey Ho movie.
Don't go
right
chase
now.
The waterfalls, Godfrey Ho.
What if you were like?
Section of the review.
I want to say that there is no Wikipedia page for this movie. Please start one and use these pull quotes.
Please.
When you should watch it, like the.
Also,
like,
you gotta make
also,
this movie has
also,
to go
let's start a web page that is wearing your cycle should you watch the movie.
I love that.
And let's apply it to all the movies.
We have gotten into a lot of trouble with our changes of web pages. We changed Stellan Skarsgård's page to Stellar Skateboard. And it was locked.
Since we last taped an episode,
yes,
which has not been yet released, Wikipedia's page for the actor Ron Silver will only now refer to him as actor activist Ron Silva.
Because it was set in the show. So put these, you go to town on Wikipedia and get some information out.
I don't know
about
if I want to say we should definitely tell people to do that.
What a weird,
as much as
sweet,
it has happened because of things we've said.
What a weird, sweet, nerdy form of trolling.
Oh, yeah.
Not harming anybody, yeah, all in good fun.
Very That's gentle.
Cute. I dig it.
Also
gentle
exposing
trolling.
The movie.
Right. Yeah.
To a whole new audience.
Oh, yes.
Godfrey Ho's a fucking baller. I'm like, Godfrey Ho, in this whole experience, I'm like, yes to him, no irony. No irony.
Yeah.
Well, he's got
I'm like, I'm not going to watch it.
He's got 115 movies.
Incredible.
From Mission Dynamo to Zombie versus Ninja to Ninja the Magnificent.
So he's
to
like
Rambo Vampire.
Two.
Cobra versus Ninja.
That's like many years worth of second day period movies to watch.
When Harry
you can live your whole life
hilarious.
Almost. You can get through almost every one of your periods.
115 day two period movies.
Cobra versus Ninja?
Cobra versus Ninja. Yeah, there's also Lethal.
I hope it's Stallone's
Lethal
Cobra.
Panther. There is
Lethal Panther?
Angel the Kickboxer. There is Lethal Extortion. Project G7. Raging Invaders. Seven Star Grand Mantis.
These sound like strains of weed. Dope strains
you know
of weed.
Whoa, how was this about?
Oh, I'm not going to read that one out loud. Sorry.
Yeah, don't.
Well,
no. They also sound like razor blade names. Like razors.
You know what bummed me out? We didn't talk about the crab scene, but...
Oh, do you want me to play it real quick?
Yes. Good job,
That was just the lobster scene from Annie Hall in with a different crustacean.
And she was like a full idiot, like scared of things the size of her feet. I was
where
this
did
is
they
stupid.
Even come from?
She was making crab that night.
She was making crab, but how did they end up
crab
on the
rangoon?
Ground?
Oh, doesn't she say like they got loose or something?
Well, I think she drops them out of the pot.
Honestly feel like these things that you guys are bringing up, it's like I tripped.
Yeah, like it's like a fever dream.
Like the crabs, and I'm like,
I feel the same.
Yeah, you remember those crabs. Yeah. You're really into them.
Yeah.
I just hope that crab was not killed in the making of this movie.
Oh, this crab for sure was so killed.
This crab is 1,000,000% Deadsville.
He picks up his little knife, throws it at a crab's head.
Yep.
Oh my God, killed on camera.
That crab.
That's upsetting.
This is now a snuff film we're watching.
That's Godfrey Ho for
you. Starring a crab.
Godfrey Ho will never kill an animal on set unless he eats it. That's what his plan is. He makes it, he eats what he makes.
Typical Godfrey Ho.
Before we wrap up, thank you for both being here.
This is so fun. This is so much fun. Thank you so much.
So much fun.
Thank you,
Your
guys.
Amazing show, Broad City, is coming back what day?
What is it?
August
23rd? Oh, I thought it was a week earlier. August 23rd.
823. Be there.
823-17.
Get DVR it. Fucking stream it.
Do it all.
Comedy
Central app it. Anything you guys want to plug, talk about, or anything?
So cute. Thank you. Woo. No, thanks for coming and watching the show. And that's it.
Well, we loved having you guys. Definitely check out the movie opening night in theaters now when this comes out, which will be great.
Yes.
And your book, Carrie, right? Is this Carrie?
Yeah.
Carry it.
No, you have this amazing book, Carry This Book, and it's awesome. It's really a beautiful looking book. It's really, really great.
Thanks.
Big thanks to Avril Halley, who's here, who cut all these clips.
Yes!
She's amazing.
Great job.
And thank you, everybody, for coming. Bye-bye.
Get out of here.
Yes.
All right, everybody. Thank you, San Francisco. And thank you, Clusterfest, for that amazing show. Also, a big thank you to Nate Kiley, who does all of our research. Kelly Alto, who does all of the putting together of the show. July Diaz, our in-house producer. Cody Scully, our engineer. So many people to thank. But the most important people to thank are you for listening to the show. Remember,
The dialogue doesn't end here. It all picks up next week on the mini episode where you can call me at 619-PAULASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. Let's talk about the movie. Let's talk about your life. Let's talk about your love. I will give you answers to everything there. Also, you can go to earwolf.com and continue the discussion on the message boards. We'll highlight the best ones on the mini episode, including telling you what movie to watch the following week. There is so much to talk about in our mini episode, so make sure you listen to that, including a special clip from Blake J. Harris, who is talking to Godfrey Ho. That's right, you got to listen. It's so damn good. We'll see you next week for a mini episode, and thank you so much for listening.
Subpar art. Perhaps we found one answer to the question, how did this get made?
We are excited to announce the launch of Stitcher Premium. It is the new subscription service that brings all of your favorite free and premium podcasts together under one roof.
Here's the deal. Yes. Explain the deal to me.
With Stitcher Premium, you get access to the same exciting content as Howl.
More than 250 hours of exclusive original shows.
That's so awesome.
I know, right?
More than 120 comedy albums and free archives and bonus episodes.
So, where is Richard Simmons? Where do we start?
If you're a Howl subscriber, this is great news.
With Stitcher Premium, you no longer have to switch apps to listen to premium content.
You can listen to the exclusive Howl shows you love in Stitcher alongside your favorite free podcasts. Your Howl account info, like favorites and playlists and your listening history, can easily be transferred over to Stitcher.
Musical guest.
To learn more about Stitcher Premium, just go to stitcher.com/premium.
Stay flippy.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.